It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, live from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, another busy weekend, You know, what do we have? All kinds of goodies in New Orleans. They had their, conservative conclave. They had, Dr. Paul came in a close couple of votes behind Romney in their straw poll. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. Friday morning, early in the morning, I get up like 3, 4 in the morning. I catch a plane from Phoenix. I go to Charlotte and then to New Orleans, and I drive up to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And no, it's not New Orleans. It's New Orleans. They kept hammering on me on that. Nolens. And I go, no, not Nolens. It's New Orleans. And I'm going, so I just want to, I told them I'd get that right because, man, they were on my case. So in New Orleans, they had the conservative southern, whatever the heck it is, okay? So when they did this, they wanted to, it's another thing just like CPAC is. And one of the, I would say the highlights of this is trying to inject the opinion of the people at the top who's going to be the 2012 nominee for Republican. And these things start early, especially if you got the money. I mean, let me tell you who's got the money. Let me tell you who the boy is. It's Mitt Romney, okay? Well, at CPAC, Dr. Paul wins 33% to 22%. Sarah Palin at 7%. And they're like, oh, heck no. We're not going to be doing this again. So the plan was Mitt Romney would bring in the boys. I mean, they're gonna flood it with, the buses. And then, the joke was bus dollars because, I mean, I don't think they actually brought in buses, although it wouldn't surprise me. But Mitt Romney was paying for people's attendance to the event because it wasn't free. I think $100 or whatever it was. It wasn't free, whatever it was. And so they're like, yep, paying your way. Support me, wear my t-shirt, get in free. So they came up with, it's 430. I'll find the numbers here in a little bit. I got the notes here. But in this short segment, just let you know what we're going to be talking about. What they did is they brought in a lot of supporters and so on. They got 400 and whatever votes. And right behind them within single digits, I think, Dr. Paul. Well, Mitt Romney, they were afraid this was going to happen. If he would have been there and this would have happened, or Lord forbid, Ron Paul, without really trying to organize anything other than showing up, would have won. It would not have been good for him. So they figured the best thing they could do is Mitt not show up and him come at least a close second or win this thing. And then, they can keep their hopes alive. Well, I went to speak in Mississippi, and a lot of the young kids that went down there came back up and we chatted, and they told me what happened at the event. You're going to want to know the inside story because there's always an inside story. And you're going to get it right here. And who else will know this? Who else on the planet will know what happened on the floor? Well, you will. You just stay right there, and I'll tell you all about it on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Great speakers coming. Our next speaker is one of the most outspoken critics of big government, helping to provide inspiration for the Tea Party movements, helping that is currently sweeping Louisiana and the nation. He enjoys a national reputation for being the premier advocate for liberty in America and promoting limited constitutional government, promoting low taxes, free markets, and a return to the sound monetary policies. He's known for his consistent voting record in the House of Representatives. Dr. Paul never votes for legislation. He never votes for legislation unless the proposed measure is expressly authorized by the Constitution. Novel idea. Ladies and gentlemen, our Constitution is worth defending, and Dr. Paul wants us to defend it. So please join me in welcoming a true champion for limited government, Dr. Ron Paul.
Now, this is the Southern Republican Leadership Conference in New Orleans. New Orleans. This last weekend, all right? Now, let me tell you what was going on. There is some very interesting stats on this that you're never going to hear anywhere else. I'm just going to share this stuff with you so that you know. And we'll put all this information up on today's archive. I'm doing it now. Excuse me. Now, this information is just, I've been to these things. Let me tell you what goes on. When you have the Iowa straw poll, I mean, it's done on Diebold machines, and you know they're going to have it real fast because it's, you know, because it's on computer. And then you wait 2 hours screaming on the floor. They would go 20 minutes at a time with one thing, you know, like, we're inspired, not hired. We're inspired, not hired. Ron Paul, Ron Paul. I mean, this would go on for hours. And they don't know what to do. And Fox News is supposed to be covering this live. Well, they'll go to stock footage. There's no way they're going to show this entire thing waiting for the results of all these Ron Paul people freaking out. Well, you go from Iowa, you go to New Hampshire, you go to New Orleans, and I'm telling you, there is the same kind of, it's going all over again. And, you know, I give you some of the stats. This is what happened. Mitt Romney, now this is out of 1,764 votes cast, all right? Mitt Romney got 439. Ron Paul got 438. Who won? Both 24%. Sarah Palin came at 330 with 18%. Newt Gingrich, 18%. Huckabee, 4%. Pawlenty, 3%. Mike Pence, 3%. Rick Santorum, 2%. Gary Johnson, 1%. Now, what up with that? Well, nobody knows who Gary is, but that'll start to change, I'm sure. So what happens is, you know, Ron Paul didn't do any coordination or anything. This is all kids. You know, campaign for liberty, revolution, whatever. They, you know, we're going for a party. I know this because I was within, I don't know, 90, 100 miles of this. I landed in New Orleans I finally get into New Orleans like late Friday night, 11 at night or something. And I drove to Hattiesburg, which is about 100 miles northeast in Mississippi. I get there. Stay that night. The next day is this Mississippi State Libertarian Party convention. The Ron Paul Revolution had a lot going on in Mississippi, and a lot of it in Tennessee. Tennessee was really hot and heavy in Missouri, and you know, a lot of the states around there, Alabama and the universities and so on. So a lot of these people that were inspired by all this going around them, and in Mississippi, there's a, you know, a lot going on there. That they, you know, a lot of Republicans went to this convention. So out of the, let's say, it was most of the people, the young people, all went to the thing in New Orleans. So I'm going, okay, you know, cool. Because they, you know, they already know. They knew who I was. They know Freedom's Phoenix. They know the show. They know my spiel. I've been around for past couple of years helping these guys. You know, we're sending them 1,000 DVD packets that are given out at the university on April 15th, this Thursday. You know, it's just, you know, we got it going on with them. We're good. They wanted to go see Dr. Paul. Heck yeah, go have fun, man, rock and roll. I'll take care of the Republicans here, all right? So you have the, you know, Libertarian Party officers of the state and everything, and there's a lot in the area. You know, a lot of Republicans are starting, hey, this Libertarian thing. Yeah, maybe it's the third party. It's, if we could just get them to tone down on that drug war thing. Well, maybe we need bases a little bit over there. Well, okay, we understand we shouldn't be, you know, like occupying people and standing out on the streets with our M16s, but, you know, having a base down the corner probably is not a bad idea. I mean, you know, they're not really Libertarians, okay? So I, you know, you want to be nice to them. You want to welcome, you want to give them what for, you know, kind of explain what's going on, why this is happening, why all these people are down there. Well, after the convention, you know, these young people were coming back. You know, they had finished their balloting and polling, and then, you know, they just went there to see Dr. Paul speak, cast their ballot, and then book back. So they're at the after party, and they're telling us what's what. Head of the, Young Libertarian Youth for whatever. It's a campus thing. I can't remember what they call it. And they have those guys there, the head of one of the Alabama universities and one of the other young people from the Campaign for Liberty that runs that, and then a bunch of their friends and so on. So we're having some beer. This is what happened. You had the vote counts, and they're kind of, yeah, they didn't announce them. It's it. You know, we waited, finally, screw it, they left. Well, I know how this stuff goes. It's how it always goes. They're back there negotiating. They're like, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have Mitt Romney at 439, Ron Paul at 438. This is typical. This happens all the time. But look at the poll's second choice. So it's kind of like a ranked choice thing, I guess. Who would be your second choice in the Republican primary election for president? Sarah Palin at 20%. She was the high. Mitt Romney at 20%. Okay, then you have, and it, no. It's Newt Gingrich. And it has, I don't know why they put it in this order, as Sarah Palin 332, Newt Gingrich 339. So Newt Gingrich should be moved up to the front, and both 20%. So anyway, so Newt Gingrich first with 339, then Sarah Palin second, both at 20%, Mitt Romney 442 at 14%, and then it starts dropping down there. Ron Paul, second choice, 6%. What does that tell you? That says that of all the people that went there, the 24% for Mitt Romney, 24% for Ron Paul, that 24% for Ron Paul, that's a solid Ron Paul thing, okay? Their second choice isn't a fascist. Their second choice isn't a, you know, a selloutist. Their second choice isn't, you know, a Democrat with an R after their name, you know, collectivist, statist, whatever military, industrial, new world order, empire of. You know, they're like, no, it's Ron Paul thing. Anybody that's voting for, you know, Romney or Palin or Gingrich or Huckabee, these guys, all they're doing is, you know, if it's not my mini fascist over here, well, it's mini fascist number two. Their next choice isn't going to be Ron Paul. I mean, we understand this, right? What's happening, though, is that in the conservative movement, there is the energy of the young people. They will stomp these guys into the ground with passion, activism, presence, energy, future. This is just the beginning. And you need to understand these young people know it. They're in this for the rest of their lives. Will they stay in the Republican Party to do this? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe a lot of them are just libertarians. Maybe they're just looking for a libertarian candidate somewhere to, you know, spread the message. Well, that's what's going on. So you have the vote count tied pretty much within one vote of each other of Romney and Paul. Wouldn't shock me that he won. Let me tell you what was happening on the ground. They had the Campaign for Liberty guys. They get there, and of course they all, you know, friends, and they start congregating together. They're wearing their Campaign for Liberty shirts and Ron Paul this and that and whatever, and bringing signs and everything. It was not difficult to find out who the Ron Paul guys were. They weren't hiding it. So they said when they got there, they kept shuttling them between floors. Oh, you got to go up the third floor. Oh, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. You got to go on the second floor. Oh, I'm sorry, you got to go on the first floor. And they kept shuttling them around. They're like, what the heck's going on? Does anybody know what's going on? Then all of a sudden they go, oh, I'm so sorry. You had to be registered by 1 p.m. or you didn't get to get in. They're like, you SOBs. They did it on purpose. There was, you know, 30, then 40, then 50, then 60 of these guys that were around. And then they started. Ron Paul's going to be speaking in a few minutes. They've been jerking around with this for 2 hours. He's going to be speaking. They're out there, okay, you guys want to play? We did this in Iowa. You tried to, we had a bigger rally. We'll go have a rally out here in the freaking hallway. You know, Ron Paul. They're going, finally, okay. We'll let you in. They get in 2 minutes before Ron Paul gets up to speak, okay? How many people did they miss? How many didn't get to get in? How many y'all gave up? How many, I don't know. Was it one? Was it one vote? Was it one? Was it one? So they went in, and then the party started. And we'll play some of it. You know, it's a half-hour speech. We'll get little pieces of it. We'll start it off, see what we can get to. But, yeah, I'll tell you what else happened when we come back. So you're the first to know. Be back in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Fox News alert, and as promised, the results of the straw poll in New Orleans at the Republican conference. Carl Cameron standing by with the latest. Carl, so how's it looking?
Hi, Eric. Well, we've got the results finally. There were 1,806 ballots cast here at the Republican, at the Southern Republican Leadership Council Conference. Pardon me while I balance some of my props here on the various different equipment. 1,806 ballots is a pretty good sample for any survey, and these represent people from about 14 different states across the South. There were about 2,000 to 3,000 people who actually attended, and the winner is Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, the 2008 Republican presidential nominee runner-up to John McCain, and he managed to do it with 439 votes. Now, what's interesting is Mitt Romney was not here, but his supporters, evangelicals for Mitt, were here in large, large numbers. They passed out piggy banks to point out that Mitt Romney's a successful businessman who they think can be a good economic steward, and it says evangelicals for Mitt. They bought a full-page ad in the program, and there were placards out. Clearly, there was a level of organization here on his behalf by his supporters that helped Mitt Romney a great deal. In second place, only one vote short out of 1,806 ballots cast, a one vote margin, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, a phenomenon in presidential campaigns, a huge and loyal support throng that came here with him today. He had 438. In third place, the catch lightning in a jar candidate in the Republican Party, whether she's running or not, no one quite knows, Sarah Palin with 330 votes. And in fourth place, the former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. In 1994, he led Republicans to the first House majority in nearly 50 years. He was here talking about trying to keep the focus on the 2010 midterm and then using that as a springboard for 2012. There were a host of other candidates, but there you have it, the top four. Mitt Romney, who was absent, followed by Ron Paul, and then Sarah Palin in third, followed by Newt Gingrich.
Carl Cameron, nicely done, Carl. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is, you see what was going on when he held up the piggy bank. You go, yeah, you know, and the young people that went told me, they said, yeah, we didn't really get this this piggy bank reference thing. Does that represent the pork? I mean, you know, they didn't get it. They're just like, what the heck was that about? You know, so it's just a generational thing, I guess. But they had these little fist-sized piggy banks out there, evangelicals for. So yeah, it's a Southern Republican, okay? Southern Republican Leadership Conference. And they came out, and then they pulled out all the stops, and they got it by one vote. Did they? You will never know. But it doesn't matter because, man, in the crowd, it was, ooh-hoo, Mr. Ron Paul. And it's so, if you've ever gone to any of these things, it's just amazing the energy on this stuff. You know, people know when he's telling the truth. So what happened Friday? Friday, we have, I don't know how this happened. I mean, this was, CNN must be grasping at straws here because they had filling in for Larry King, Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura gets up, and who does he have up there? He has Stephanie Miller. She's, you know, progressive, big left Democrat talk show host. He had some other woman up there. I don't know. She's representing Republican Party something, and she's up there going, yes, well, yeah, the Tea Party is it. So what? You know, Dick Armey, hell, he's allowed to be like, you know, First Amendment helping do it. Because this Tea Party Express thing, it's all coming out. It's RNC stuff. It's Dick Armey. you know, former Republican Congressman De La whatever. And I'm going, okay, I get it. Then we have, you know, we're finding out there's somebody else, some other guy. You know, we're doing some research on this. I'm going to start doing a radio show on it. But this is the scuttlebuck in the background. There is a gentleman coming out, big Republican operative. No. We're the real Tea Party. Any of the Tea Party groups and so on, they can't get into the Express. They'll go, yeah, you don't want to join them. They're the yeah, you're right. You're right. They're Republican bad guys. You know, come over with us and we'll compete with them. We got to get you collected. Can't get in this collective. We'll go put you in this collective. So they're getting all these other people who aren't satisfied with that, don't want to be part of that, to go into their little Tea Party thing. What they don't know, the guy doing that, sleeping with one of the RNC staff. I mean, you know, as a girlfriend or something. So I go, okay, we're going to find out about that too. We'll get this is it's a game. I tell you, it's all manipulation. And the problem is, it's the internet. There are every golf caddy, restroom valet, you know, waiter, bus boy. All these guys are, you know, we're everywhere, and we know this stuff. You know, there's like, you know, the poor little bus boy guy standing over in the corner. Yeah, he doesn't even know vocabulary we're talking about. Doesn't we don't pay no attention to him? He's invisible. He's not there. You know, you want to know who's invisible? Let me tell you who's invisible. You go into a mall, and you're a little pudgy, middle-aged white boy, you know, with the Bermuda shorts on walking around in the mall, you're invisible. I get paid no attention. I'm just, oh, nope, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not in anybody. They're just, you know, middle-aged white boy going down the mall, you know, carrying his wife's handbag, invisible. I, you know, they just yakking away and you just stand there and you're just like, wow. You know, well, this stuff happens all the time. So we hear about it. This is what's going on. Every bit of the Tea Party they can get into the Express, they will. The ones that resist that and don't, and incompetent, yeah, you're right, they're the bad guys, is going to be another RNC thing that they're going to try and do it again. But for the first time in human history, they have an entire planet of youth networked amongst each other that don't have to worry about this anymore. They're just all just, you know, we got the information. We were standing there. Here's my little iPhone video of what someone said, kind of clandestine recorded, you know, spy pen video, audio, whatever thing. You know, this is how we know. Well, Jesse Ventura taking over for Larry King. There'll be more around that. You know, also bringing Brokovich or what it was, a Chicago guy, and Dr. Ron Paul. And he's got all these guys in there just, you know, what's really going on here? I'm wondering what's really going on with Jesse Ventura sitting in for Larry King. What if CNN brings him over to replace Larry King? A different planet.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Thank you. Thank you. It sounds like a freedom rally. Thank you very much. Well, it's great to see so much enthusiasm for the freedom movement and limited government. I want to thank the host of this convention for inviting me. So I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted to be among friends. My wife is here with me today, and I am pleased very much with that, too. You know, this last week, there was a report that came out on Friday, just yesterday. It came from the Treasury. And it was, it even shocked me, even having been concerned about deficits, you know, like about 35 years ago. But yesterday, it was reported by the Treasury that this past week, our national debt went up $106 billion in one day. And I would say it's time to end that kind of spending and get rid of the deficits. Getting rid of the deficits is easily said. I guess everybody wants to get rid of the deficits. And you know, there is an effort in Washington today on our side of the aisle, which is well-intended, might do some good, but I think it comes up way too short. and that is the dwelling on earmarks. Now, let me tell you about earmarks. Earmarks, if you vote against an earmark, you don't save a penny. What you do is you take the responsibility away from the Congress and you give the money to the executive branch, and believe me, they'll waste it even more than the Congress will waste it. But my argument is that earmarks, that is the responsibility of the Congress. We're supposed to designate every single penny that we spend. We're not supposed to let the president do this. I don't like a strong executive branch. I want a strong Congress that exerts its prerogatives. What we need is not to tinker with earmarks, but to vote against the entire package, vote against the appropriation bills until we get this budget under control. Also, the definition of an earmark is very important. They claim that an earmark is when the government takes your highway funds, send it to Washington, and your congressman says, well, why don't we get some of our highway funds back and spend it in our district? That's what they want to stop. But when it comes to an earmark for building an embassy, which we are now doing in London, which is a fortress, it's going to cost us $1 billion. Why are we doing that? It makes no sense whatsoever. At the same time, we're tinkering around with some spending bills here and trying to build a highway. We have spent $1 billion on an embassy in Baghdad. We're spending another $1 billion on an embassy in Kabul. That doesn't make any sense unless you think we have unlimited funds, and we don't. This is the message that is coming today. The reason why the American people have awoken and they are so upset and annoyed and they're acting outside the party system is because the country is broke and the people in Washington won't admit it. We need to admit it, which means you have two choices if you think we should have a balanced budget. One, you raise taxes. I haven't met a Republican in a long time that wants to raise taxes, thank goodness. But the other side of the coin is you cut spending. Now, if we were so good at cutting spending, where were we when we had the chance? Well, we have created as Republicans over the last several decades have created is a credibility gap. We talk a good game, but when we get the chance to do something, we haven't done the job that we should have. I'll tell you what, though. We're doing a better job now in opposition. The credibility is when we get the chance again, which I believe we will, how credible are we going to be? How well are we going to stick to our guns? How significant are we going to be when we take seriously our oath of office? Just think. If we didn't do anything else, then elect individuals who you could trust that would always obey the Constitution, we'd get out of this mess in no time. You know, the question has been raised is whether or not our president is a socialist. And I'm sure there's some people here that believe it, and I know this conference has talked about that already, and I think it's very important. He deserves a lot of criticism. But, you know, in the technical sense, in the economic definition of what a socialist, no, he's not a socialist. What he is a corporatist. And unfortunately, we have corporatists in the Republican Party, and that means you take care of corporations, and corporations take over and run the country. We see that in the financial institution. We see it in the military-industrial complex. And now we see it in the medical-industrial complex, who runs medicine. Just think of how the corporations got between the doctor and the patient. And believe me, I went through the experience of entering medicine when there were no Medicare and Medicare or Medicaid, and the doctor and the patient made the decisions. Today, it's the drug companies, it's the insurance companies, it's the HMO, and now with this passage of bill, if we don't eradicate it and get rid of it, now we're going to have thousands of government bureaucrats between the doctor and patients. We need to change. We have an obligation to do some changing here, and hopefully after November we will. But I have a piece of legislation I'll be introducing next week. 2,000 pages. Of course, the simple answer was would have been to reject it, and the next thing is throw it all out. That's not going to happen. But there's going to be one piece of legislation I'm going to introduce. It'll probably be only one page long. And it will be to remove the mandate that you have to participate if you don't want to. I have a belief that if we always retain the option to get out, no matter how bad the government bears down on us, we can survive. For instance, education, have you noticed? It's a mess ever since the federal government got involved in it. You remember the old days of the Republican Party when our platform says, get rid of the Department of Education? But fortunately, we have had the private option protected. And that is, you still have the right, and many of you, I'll bet, are exerting that right. You have the right to opt out, educate your own kids, or send them to private school. In medicine, we need that same option. You need to be able to opt out of the system. You know, endlessly they talked about the public option. The public option, everybody knew that was a term for total socialized medicine. They didn't win that fight, but the corporations won the fight and they benefited. But if we did that, if we allowed the people to get out of the system, this means that you could have medical savings account and deduct it from your taxes. This would be so much better. Isn't it amazing they talked about the public option all the time? How many times did you ever hear them say, oh, why don't we consider protecting the private option? If we're going to get back to a balance, of course, the Constitution would get us there. But we have to decide where we're going to cut. Why don't we cut anything? When have we cut anything over the last 30 or 40 years? It is because we as a people have accepted the notion that government should be doing all these things. Government really does reflect the prevailing attitude of the people. And if you come and the politician comes and he wants to run for Congress and said, well, I'm going to vote against the spending, I'm going to vote against all the spending that's coming to this district, traditionally, that guy lost. Something is stirring now, because in this election this year, that doesn't hurt your chances of being reelected or elected. But we only have two problems in Washington with spending. We have conservatives and the liberals. They both like to spend. Conservatives spend money on different things. They like embassies and they like occupation. They like the empire. They like to be in. They like to be in. They like to be in 135 countries and 700 bases. Did you hear the news? Did you hear the news just this weekend? Kyrgyzstan, there was a revolution over there. Why was it important? Because we have an air base there. Why do we have to have air bases in the Soviet satellites? Besides, we're running out of money. No matter how badly you would like to have them, all empires in, not because they're defeated militarily, all empires in for financial reasons, and that is what the markets are telling us today. Besides, if you want a strong national defense, it should be designed for defense, not to support preventative wars and not to support wars that are undeclared. Don't you think it's rather conservative to say, oh, it's good to follow the Constitution except for war? Let the presidents go to war anytime they want. I would say that if you want to go to war, only Congress can declare the war. Declare the war, know who the enemy is, and go fight and win it and get out of there. Also, politically, it's much easier and it makes a lot more sense to cut the militarism and the bases overseas than it is to cut child welfare here at home. There's just so much room for that. And I don't hesitate for a minute because I know we would be stronger for it. When we went into Korea, I was in high school. That's 60 years ago, believe it or not. But we're still there. That costs us a lot of money. Why do we have to have troops there? We don't have troops in Vietnam. We came back from Vietnam. People were embarrassed by that. But Vietnam, in our defeat, are better friends now and more capitalistic than all of Korea. You know, North Korea is not our friends. We, 20 years of the French and the Americans trying to tell the Vietnamese how to be westernized, totally failed at a fantastic, horrible cost to us. And now we have won more in peace than we ever won in war because they're trading partners. We travel over there, their president comes here. We can do better with peace than with war. Once again, if there is a need to go to war, it should be done properly, and then the rules would be quite different. But you know, personal liberty, if you're an advocate of, as that we all are in the Republican Party, we're advocates for limited government, small government. But small government is one thing. It's easy to say, yes, we want less taxes and less regulations, and that's good, fine, and dandy. But do we want to make sure that every individual has a right to life and liberty? I would say yes. Everybody has a right to life and liberty. And when we talk about protection of all life, I mean the protection of all life, not just life designated by liberals. I believe premature, preborn life is just as valuable and should be protected. But it also means that if you're going to protect liberty, you're going to protect personal choices. We have no trouble protecting personal choices when it comes to our churches and intellectual interests. People are allowed to read and study and do what they want. But as soon as it comes to something that we want to put in our bodies, all of a sudden the government has to tell us what to do. And I would say that we don't need the government to tell us whether or not you're allowed to drink raw milk or not. I would say that should be your own decision.
And it goes on. We'll go ahead and continue it, but I want to make sure you understand. I was talking to the kids that were there. I say kids, they're in their 20s. They came back to Hattiesburg, a lot of them, and to meet with me and people at the LP convention there and so on to tell us the story. When we come back, I'll tell you, what they had to say about all this. And we'll finish it in the next hour. But you need to know what was really going on the floor you know, the competition there. And there was, and it's interesting. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR.
Oh, are they freer in the former Soviet Union? Oh, my God. Well, maybe not. But, you know, are we quickly going that way? Yeah. And they asked, you know, he's going, hey. You know, Obama, he's not even a socialist. He's a corporatist. Now, he's going to take all yours and give it to redistribute it to the people? Nah, we'll just give it to the companies. This is so obvious to the young people. They're like, you can sit there and do all your Fox News bullet point crap all you want. Don't mean nothing. Don't mean not a thing at all. Oh, yeah, I love that accent down. You know, I didn't get it as much as I thought I would in Mississippi. Because I'm originally from Florida. I grew up in Florida until I was 12. The whole side of my father's family is from Florida. And, you know, my sister, boy, I tell you, she gets around anybody from the South, man, she picks it up in a heartbeat. It's just, and then in Texas, boy, I got some draw from there, too. I talked to her. This is what happened on the floor. They were saying they did everything they could to keep them out of there, you know, for Dr. Bob. It was obvious they weren't going to go away, and they would be screaming out in the hallway. You would definitely have heard them, and they're like, okay, fine, put them up over in the corner up here or something. Well, they had a couple of hecklers. Whenever he would say anything about foreign policy, especially, you know, closing bases, you know, anything that was kind of, you know, didn't fit in with the Tea Party kind of thing that they were trying to push down from the Dick Armey RNC kind of deal, then somebody would start heckling. Well, and they were talking about, oh, yeah, they had to heckle. I go, you Ron Paul'd them, didn't you? And they know, everybody knows what that means. They start doing, it was like when John McCain was giving a speech at the Republican National convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you had Adam Kokesh up there holding up a sign from Iraq Veterans Against the War. It's kind of, you know, McCain doesn't support the troops or whatever it was. And, you know, people start cheering. Then everybody's going, USA, USA. You go to a Tea Party thing, this is their answer to anybody saying or other chants. Then it becomes a competition, USA, you know, versus whatever the heck was going on. Well, when they do this to Dr. Paul, they start trying to, you know, boo him, or you got some heckler out there trying to get some opposition. Well, here come all the youngins. Ron Paul. Right, it's good to have a name that's two syllables. Ron Paul. Ron Paul. And they just shout him down. Well, eventually there was this one guy that was right in front of him. I mean, he was there. That was his job. It was a Ron Paul thing, you know, anti-Ron Paul thing. They finally had one of the guys went over there to talk to him. You know, I still haven't got the, you know, the story of, you know, who it was that actually went to talk to him, what was said, did he convince him, did he, you know, stick a knife in his ribs or what? I have no idea what was going on. But he said, one of the young men, he goes, yeah, one of our guys, you know, went down there to talk to him. And he was there during the whole thing. He's just there talking to him. So I'm that's an interesting story. I tell you what I really want to know. You want to know who that guy is. You don't get a, you know, and what do? You know, part of it is, I know what they do. They do this all the time. And it's like, we are change guys. They're really good at this. You go up with your iPhone, boom, you take a picture of them. Yeah, we'll know who you are within a little while. You know, just put it on the internet. Well, this guy, anybody know who this guy is? Why, yes, I do. I've seen him at this thing and seen him at this thing. It always comes out. These things that they used to do can't be done anymore, certainly not the way that they were doing them. Good example. Utah We Are Change goes to an event where it's a Tea Party thing. The Tea Party Express has, I don't know, at least 4, 5, 6 buses. It even says, one of them says CNN Express. I'm like, what the heck is that? Or CNN's got a logo bus. They go around following the Tea Party Express thing. I didn't even know they were in support. What? You know, I mean, it's you keep thinking that CNN versus Fox and MSNBC, you think that they're in opposition to each other. No, they just have different roles to play. You go high enough up on the pyramid, it's the same people up top controlling all the corporate networks, controlling all the parties. They control. Well, what the We Are Change Utah did is they kept going around who's in charge, who pays for it, who's in charge, who's in charge, who's in charge. They went behind the speakers. They had a big We Are Change 9/11, question 9/11 thing or something. Big banner up there. It's probably, you know, 6 feet high by 15 feet long. And they had the park rangers, well, you got to move, you got to move, got to move. Nope, we don't. Park rangers come up And he go, look, I've been told to ask you to go. Will you?